If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Listen to God. He brings you to this confession because he's setting you up for great demonstration. He says, certainly I will be with thee. What's the natural interrogative that comes with this promise? When you have brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. That's the proof that I sent you, because you bring the people to me. This is the sign that I've sent you. You will bring the people to me. See, if the devil sends you, you bring the people to you. You win them to your gift. You call them to your doctrine. You make them afraid to incur your wrath. You control them. You tell them who to marry, who not to marry. You put them in the pulpit based on what they do for you. If they don't do what you want them to do, then you shut them down. You isolate them. You forbid people to fellowship because you are bringing the people to you. That means God didn't call you. That's a sign that the devil sent you. Woo! You will only bring them to me. And notice, this is the essence of your salvation. Jesus did not die for you to get stuff, and God did not send his only begotten son so you could accomplish more stuff. He did it so that we could come to him. The true gospel message is to bring us to the foot of the cross. Everything else is a waste of time. Anything that doesn't bring you closer to Jesus pushes you away. So the illumination is important, because when knowledge of God is now graduated into illumination, what happens? You first start off with the knowledge of God. Then you go into illumination. Illumination has contained within it specific directives, the plan for God calling you, the assurance that he's with you. All of those things come with illumination. You cannot be illuminated and be ignorant of your purpose. Amen. Knowledge is personal. Illumination is work-oriented. It's environmental. Knowledge is who I am and who calls me. Illumination is what he's called me to do. Many of us have knowledge of God, but no illumination as to our purpose. And the ultimate purpose comes in that last part, that you will bring them here to worship me. That's the ultimate purpose. But within that ultimate purpose comes what I call a secondary purpose. In other words, you're going to do something, and the goal of your life is to bring people to Jesus. The ultimate goal, and this is where the devil fights you. Why are, you know, I was sitting here thinking when they put the information up about the Christian and the culture, and I'm working now on the second volume. Took me 6 years to write the first volume, but now I'm pretty much set, and it won't take that long to do the second volume. But here's the thing. While I'm sitting there, the Holy Spirit says, you know, the church is losing the cultural battle. Now, I don't want you to think of it in terms as God being defeated, but the church is losing the cultural battle. Let me prove it to you. 35 to 40,000 people can go to a sporting event on Sunday, but all the believers of this ministry aren't in church. Some people in church will use Sunday to take their children to football games. They're telling God, this is more important. Now, what message do you send to your child? We're losing the cultural battle. The cultural people gather together to support their efforts, but we are not faithful and committed to Jesus. I don't want to go today. Why? I don't feel like it. But you go to work on Monday. I ain't staying at Bethel because the usher didn't speak to me properly. But you took 30 years of junk from your supervisor. We're losing the cultural battle. So this is how you know. The strength of any civilization rests in the behavior of their children. The behavior of the children will let you know where that civilization is going. Right now, we still have the remnants of decency from the baby boomers that are left, who held on to what Tom Brokaw called the last great generation, those who survived the Great Depression and World War II. They gave birth to the baby boomers, all of you that were born between 46 and 66, not us born between 72 and 83. Now watch this. Those born within that time period have a different work ethic, a different dress ethic, a different behavioral ethic. They gave birth to people who tried to hold on to some of those theories, but the world was changing so fast that they abandoned many of those principles. Family structure died with the baby buster generation. They were not getting married as much as the baby boomers. And if they did have children, it was only one child. Then there was the mindset that I don't even need a husband. I just need a sperm donor. Why? Because I don't want all the baggage of a home life with a man, so I'm just going to get a sperm donor. All of this was coming with that generation. They gave birth to people who didn't even know what they were, so they called themselves Generation Xers. They didn't even know. And they were the generation that started wearing their britches all the way down, and they started wearing Timberland suede boots in the summertime. Now, one of the signs of mental instability is wearing boots and heavy coats in the summertime. And they were, you found that that generation became extremely chameleon-like. One person started wearing a T-shirt that was too big, and then everybody started wearing them, right? You didn't see that with the baby boomer. The baby boomer, they would go home, and their parents would say, tuck your shirt in, pull your britches up, tie your shoes. And then everybody that went out would fall into that. So now the Generation Xers, because they don't know. And then the parents were saying, well, that's the style. Let it go. And they gave their child no self-respect. That's right. Then they gave birth to the Millennium Kids. Now, they came around the beginning of the 21st century. So they have no constraints. They have no restraints. They have no idea about what family means. They have no vision. That's why they're perishing. And they only think about a quick dollar. The millennials don't come to church. So many churches have augmented their services with coffee shops, right? Drive-through services. Just drive through and pick up your CD. Why? Because the millennium generation, they jump from one relationship to the next. They don't have any commitments. That's that generation. They don't want to be married. There was a time when African Americans, we would have 5, 6, 7 kids in the house. Sometimes 10, 12, 14. Now we have 1, maybe 2, sometimes 3, and we're losing the population ability that we had. We're losing to other ethnic groups. Why? Because these new children, they don't want kids. Kids hold them down. They keep me from being the partner in my law firm. You say, what's that got to do with my sermon? Listen carefully. The first principle of the kingdom is family. The first principle of the kingdom is family. And when family falls apart, then this kingdom continues to suffer. Where does a child learn generosity? At home. Where does a child learn discipline? At home. Where does a child learn to worship God? At home. Where does a child learn manners? At home. The Bible even says a child left to themselves will bring their parents to shame. The baby boomer, they had either the mama was home or somebody was home, an aunt, a grandmother, somebody, even the next door neighbor. They gave birth to children who were, there may have been somebody home, but in a lot of cases, Sesame Street was the baby sitter. Then we developed a new term for the baby buster, and it was latchkey children. There were no latchkeys for baby boomer generation. They didn't know. If nobody was home, they sat on the steps and waited. But now the next generation went in. And when they went in, their friends came with them. Amen. And they came with them and they had sex and they did all the other things and they brought their parents to shame. Their children. Now, they went out and they became even worse. They wouldn't even go home. And these are the people who come into the house of worship. And we try to teach them discipline. We try to teach them how to act in church. We try to teach them how to dress for church. And so what we've done now is we've acquiesced to them and said, well, look, we ain't going to fight with them. The Bible said, come as you are. There's no place in the Bible that says, come as you are. There's not one passage of scripture that says, come as you are. Stop that lying. That's a secular humanistic lie. It's as dumb as the sea of forgetfulness. God has taken your sins and cast them into the sea of forgetfulness. Ain't nothing in the Bible about the sea of forgetfulness. The prophet said, as far as the east is from the west. But that's all relative, because he could be talking about East Philly and West Philly. And that ain't all that far. But we've just created all kinds of things. We have permissive will of God, sea of forgetfulness, come as you are. What are we saying? We can't control the new generations, so we're going to change scripture to fit them. So this generation comes in looking like bums. And we tell them it's all right to have 37 tattoos. Amen. When the Bible says you're not supposed to do it. Amen. And the parent says, well, ain't nothing wrong with it. And your child's walking around with a demon on his arm. And you're wondering why you have no peace in your house. Amen. Your child's bringing in a devil. Amen. Illumination. 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 After knowledge comes illumination. Now you have a sense of your purpose. And purpose is not easy. It is difficult. If it were easy, anybody could do it. But you are a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, a called out assembly. You have purpose. You're special. It's not easy. But he gives you the grace to perform it. You're supposed to be qualitatively different. That means you don't look like the world. I get tired of these Christians going around looking like what they're trying to win people out of. No! Brush your teeth. Comb your hair. Pull up your pants. You represent the kingdom. History tells us that Ronald Reagan never went into the White House Oval Office without a tie on, even when it was weekends. He said, the dignity of this office requires that I wear a tie. Amen. Amen. We have nothing being shown to us on a regular basis of the dignity of the king. That's why the world doesn't want it. Because we are poor representatives. And that's because we have no knowledge that has led to illumination, that brings about revelation, so that we may have demonstration.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
08116.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
This fall, Bishop Eric Lambert, Jr. and Bethel Deliverance International Church is hosting Friday night explosion services where you can experience high praise, heartfelt worship, and powerful messages. Join us Friday, September 16th, as Pastor W. Lonnie Herndon of the Church of Christian Compassion delivers an empowering word from the Lord. Services begin at 7 p.m. at 2929 West Sheltenham Avenue in Winco, Pennsylvania. For more information, call 215-885-2585 or visit betheldeliverance.org.